grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Christ Jesus, dear and beloved friend, the lessons appointed for this day deal with the will of God. It is the will of God, says the prophet Isaiah, that all people be reconciled unto him. And God wills to create a covenant with his people. He will create a covenant even to those who are not his people. And it is the will of God that all men say thou art my, that he says thou art to God. Thou art my people, and they shall say thou art my God. The epistle lesson, written in the 21st chapter of Acts, refers to Paul's willingness to go up and be offered in accordance with the will of God. The gospel lesson teaches clearly that the will of God is a reconciling will, that it is his will to restore men to his heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. That God will accomplish his will of reconciliation in and through Christ. A reconciliation which will heal the world through the forgiveness of sin. It is the will of God that all men believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. It is the will of God that all men hear and obey the will of God. As seminary students and our professors at this place, it is our great privilege, our awesome responsibility to carefully study, to consider God's will, and to seek in the scriptures the will of God. For all mankind, and for us. We seek in our study of the Word to comprehend what God would have us know, what God would have us do. We have been called to the faith. We have been enlightened in the faith. We have been gathered together in the faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we might seek to know and understand and conform ourselves to the will of God. As Christians, we confess that it is our duty, it is our privilege to know and do the will of God. We have to know the will of God. That is true, we cannot do it unless we know it. And it is our delightful duty, it is our delightful task, whether a scholar or a mature theologian, to study the scriptures and to know, to understand, to comprehend the will of God revealed therein. Yet it is also true that because we spend so much time considering the word, defining and systematizing the teaching of Holy Scripture, we must be on guard against neglecting the obvious. Now, certainly it is right and proper that we seek to know the will of God and to understand the definition of the will of God as presented by the great theologian. Certainly it is right and proper that we differentiate between the unconditional and the conditional will, between God's revealed will and his hidden will, between his antecedent and consequent, his irresistible and resistible will. It is useful to use these theological categories to think about and understand the will of God. They caution us against saying too little about the will of God, and they caution us also against saying too much concerning the will of God. We know that which God has revealed, and as we leave alone, that which God has not revealed. We are not to spend our time in idle speculation, spinning feelings out of our minds concerning the hidden and unrevealed will of God. But rather we are to concern ourselves with understanding and doing the revealed will of God. For as Christians, it is our purpose to know, to desire, and do the will of God. We have been called to accept, to live in, to live out, and be conformed to the revealed will of God. Now, of course, we all confess that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do the will of God by our own strength. Our natural wills are captive to our flesh, to the sin and evil in which we were conceived and born. None of us, not any of us, can do the will of God because of some strength that in us lies. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. As we should be called in his monumental theological tract on the boundaries of the world, the natural man cannot even begin to desire to do or desire to know the will of God, much less to understand it and do it. It is only when God comes to man, when he comes to us and calls us and enlightens us and enables us by his Holy Spirit to seek to do his will, that we can understand and perform that which God would want us to do. This is why we as Christians fervently pray, as we do in the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Thy will be done. The meaning of this petition is so beautifully and succinctly set forth by Luther in his Small Catechism. We know the words well. A good and gracious will of God is done indeed without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. For us, these words are full of comfort and promise. They contain a promise that in our age, when the will of the flesh, the world and the devil seem to be victorious, when all things seem to be rushing headlong away from God, when the world seems to be chaotic and out of control, we as Christians know, confess, and pray, the Lord's will be done. It will be done. God's will be accomplished, no matter what we or any other human being does. God's will is indeed done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord of creation controls and reigns here and now, as he does in eternity in heaven. God's will be done. Without our prayer, without anything that we do, his will for the church and the world will be done. We can take comfort in that. We can be sure of it. The will of God is done without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it be done among us. For we pray in this petition that we conform to the will of God, that the power of God come to us, so that God's will might be effective and effective in our lives. We are praying in this petition that God's will be done for us. We pray in this petition that God's will be done in us. We pray in this petition that God's will be done through us. We pray that God would accomplish his will for us and for all men. That he would bring us into his covenant of grace. That he would heal us not only from the ills of the body, but from the disease which ravages our spirit and body from sin. That his will to save all men might indeed come and be particularized in us, that we might indeed be saved. We say, Lord, work your will in us. Bring us to the sure and certain knowledge and faith of Jesus Christ. Bring us to know and to love and do your will. We pray that it might be effective in us. Lord, accomplish in us your will. Lord, bring through us and in us the power of your Holy Spirit into the world. Lord, strengthen us with your power so that our lives might conform to your will, that we might grow in sanctification, that we might indeed do the work which thou hast commanded us to do, that we might love one another as we love you, that we might serve one another, and in this serve you. Lord, let your will be done here and there in each of us by the power of your Spirit. Lord, our Father, let thy will be done through us. Make us instruments of your will. Enable us by your power to become your tools, your agents for accomplishing your will in the world. Lord, let us truly be individually and collectively your followers, your body, the church. And work through us individually and collectively so that we might call forth your will to all men. That we might show forth your will for all men. Lord, use us. Be with us. So this is what we say, as Luther puts it so beautifully. How is the will of God done? When God breaks and hinders every evil counsel and will, which would not let us hallow his name, nor let his kingdom come, such as the will of the devil, the world, and our flesh. But strengthens and preserves us steadfast in his word and faith unto our end. This is his gracious and good will. Lord, let thy will be done, sir. Lord, let your will be done in us. Lord, let your will be done through us. Lord, we pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, keep our hearts.
Today is Wednesday, October 15th. Today's chapel speaker is Dr. Alfred Brendel.
Mercy and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.